Let's go ahead and read Genesis chapter number 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat it and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I want to preach to you on the fall of man. And I'm not sure how many of these sermons I'll preach, nor when I'll preach them. But I want to open with a statement that the divine record, our Bible, is in explicit denial of Darwin's hypothesis of evolution. As a matter of fact, we read in Job or Revelation, it slipped my mind now, but that God has made everything, that all of the creatures of the earth and all of the birds of the air and all the creeping things and all that we see, that God has made those things. And the book of Revelation, the divine record that God has given to us, is in complete and utter denial of Darwin's hypothesis of evolution. Instead of teaching that man, as Darwin did, and his teachings still carry on to this day, Darwin did a lot of harm. He did a lot of harm to humanity with his theory of evolution. Of course, there are men in the church that we could point to, but that's not the point of the sermon this morning. There are men in the church that have done a lot of harm to the church centuries ago. But instead of teaching that man began at the bottom and is slowly climbing upward in a process that Darwin called evolution, that's what he taught. The man started at the bottom and is climbing upward and getting better and evolving better and better and better. But the Bible declares that man started at the top and fell all the way to the bottom. Man started out at the top and fell to the bottom. This also denies this scripture that we've read. It denies that all of man's problems are hereditary, that they are environmental, that they all of man's problems are a result of the society that he's grown up in. The last century, especially, we've been taught that man is the way that he is because of his surroundings. That if man just had better surroundings, if he lived in a better society, if he had better things around him, better jobs, better education, better home to live in, that man would improve and that man would be better. But this is the scripture. The divine record is a denial of that theory. It's a denial of that. Man started out in the very best of everything. Okay? I mean, you read Genesis chapter number 3, and you realize that man started at the top, and he started in what we often call paradise, and everything was right, and everything was perfect. There was absolutely nothing that was lacking, and nothing that was wrong. And what happened? He fell. He fell. And so don't buy this thing that has been taught for centuries, that man started at the bottom and he is evolving his way up and he's getting better and better. Honestly, who believes that? Who really believes that we are improving and getting better and better? And do not swallow this idea that man would be better. He wouldn't be so cruel and he wouldn't be so down and broke and savage and wicked if he were put into a better environment. If he were just cleaned up and set in a nicer place, in a better place, and if he was given a better education, that things would improve. No, these are simply attempts to deny that man is desperately wicked from the heart. Man is desperately wicked from the heart. You take the worst man and put him in the best environment, and he is still going to act out his wickedness. To say that a man needs more education or better schools or cleaner environment or less work or more recreation or more and better opportunities or better or more self-esteem, to say that that is man's problem is wrong. Man has already been tested under the most favorable conditions. Man has already been tested under the most ideal conditions, and he was found to be rebellious and sinful. I've said it often. Some of us we think it's unfair that the fall of Adam and Eve is automatically our fall. We think that we should have had that opportunity. We should have tried it out ourselves. God should have tested us ourselves. He should have put us in the garden to see how we would have done. But it would have ended the same way. Adam and Eve were placed in the most perfect environment, a place that God had declared at the end of the creation that it was, God declared that it was very good. It was very good. And he only gave them a single restriction. He gave them one rule. Imagine life with one rule. And they failed. And they fell. The trouble with man is not external. The trouble with man is internal. What man needs is not a new birth, B-E-R-T-H. He needs not a better home in which to lay his head, a better community in which to build his home. He doesn't need a new birth, B-E-R-T-H. He needs a new birth, B-I-R-T-H. I always get in trouble when I try to do math and spelling up here, but you get my point? You know, a lot of people, and I've heard it said to my face, "Pastor, things are just such a wreck. And the marriage is so bad. Home is so bad and so broken. I just think we ought to just move completely out of the state somewhere and start fresh." That's what I'm talking about, a new birth, B-E-R-T-H, a new setting. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. Man's problems are not external. And I'm not saying he doesn't have some external issues, but man's basic problem is internal. It's his heart. And that goes with you wherever you go. Man is a responsible being. And he's responsible to obey God, and he's responsible to glorify his maker. That is man's responsibility. Man is not an independent creature. He did not make himself, okay? We talk about self-made man. I'm a self-made man. Well, if you want to get real honest about it, you're not a self-made man at all, okay? You may have done a lot of work and may have made a lot of smart decisions, but in the end, all glory goes to God. Amen. Because without him holding your hand, you could not even take another breath or another step. Amen. Our breath is in the palm of his hand. And so, no man is independent. He's created. He has a maker. Having been created by God, and we owe God, our maker, a debt. This is the great fact that God would impress upon us from the very start of human history. Is that God is our maker. He is our creator. And therefore, we owe a debt to him. We owe responsibility to him. We owe obedience to him. Genesis 2:17, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. And God had every right to demand that of man. Every right to demand that of man. Because he created man. And he created the garden that he put man in. And that garden was his. And that tree in the midst of that garden was his. And he had every right We are not independent creatures. We are responsible creatures. We owe responsibility to God who created us. The tree was put there and the command was given to help emphasize just that fact. I am the boss and you are the subordinate. Listen, it was that way before Adam and Eve fell. And that tree in the midst of the garden emphasizes that truth. We are created beings and we owe obedience to our Creator. And you say, well, why did He put that tree in there in the first place? That tree emphasizes that fact. You are created. You're subordinate to your Creator. That tree represents that. The authority of God to say what He wants to say and do what He wants to do, and your responsibility to be obedient to God. That tree represents and reminds us of that fact. And we must be reminded of that fact. We owe obedience to our Creator. As an intelligent, responsible creature, we are subject to divine government. But we are self-seeking, we are self-centered, we are self-willed. And the result is that we have destroyed and disobeyed and fallen from our first estate. The record of the fall deserves a close study, and that's why I want to preach probably several times on this topic. Some of the steps which led up to the fall was, first of all, the voice of the tempter, Satan, manifest himself through the serpent. And he speaks to Eve. And instead of saying to that serpent, "Get behind me, Satan," Eve listens to him. Now, I'm not going to pretend to. There's so many questions. And there are questions throughout all of the scriptures. And God, if He pleases, will give us all the answers in eternity, if He pleases. Or possibly in eternity, we'll just know the answers automatically. But there are many questions when it comes to this. And one question is why was Eve comfortable talking to a snake, okay? And there's not an issue with the fact that it was a snake. Because all of the animals at this point in time, up until the Noah and his ark and the release of those animals back into the world, up until that time, there was a unity between man and beast. The big question is always the talking snake. That's the big question, the talking snake. But instead of saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan," as Jesus said there in the wilderness, Eve listened to him and debates with him. So we have the voice of the tempter in this chapter 3. And then we see the voice of the tempter as he tampers. Now this is big. This is needed. We need to listen to this in this day in which we live. Things are cyclical. I mention that all the time. The world runs in cycles and society runs in cycles, and we're coming up into a time in which there's going to be a lot of hatred and a lot of questioning and a lot of denial of the Word of God. But Satan tampers with the Word here. Eve tampers with the Word. Satan tempts her, and Eve, first of all, she added to what God had said. She said, "God told us that we shouldn't even touch it." Well, God never said that. You say, well, that's innocent enough. No, it's never innocent enough. The Bible says on a couple of occasions, Proverbs 30 and verse number 6 is one, that we are not to add to the word of God. And Eve did this. She said, yes, we're not to eat of the tree and we're not to touch it. And you say, well, it's a small thing. Honestly, brother and sister, it's never a small thing to add to the word of God. And it's not a small thing to subtract from the word of God. A lot more people want to subtract to it. I think here's how it goes. A lot of preachers want to add to it, and a lot of people in the pew want to subtract from it. I think that's how it goes, Brother Ryan. A lot of preachers want to add to the word of God. They want to somehow infuse their laws and their man-made rules into the word of God, and that's wrong. But for the people in the pew to subtract it and remove the word of God, that's wrong. It's equally as wrong. And Eve tampered with God's word. You say, well, it's innocent. She didn't mean it. It doesn't matter. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. And she altered it. She changed it, what she said. In this debate with the serpent, she changed it. She said, lest you die. Now, that's not what God said. God said, you will surely die. You will surely die. She softened it. She blunted it. She diluted it. God said, we can't eat of or touch it lest we die. No, God said, don't eat it. You will surely die. And that's another thing that happens today. Brian, the word of God is diluted, softened, whitewashed, blunt the sharpness of the sword. This sword can be sharp. It is sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword. This word cuts. Oh, man, does it cut. Oh, it pierces the heart, the soul. But if you just take that edge off, if you just blunt it, if you take the strongness of the word of God and dilute it, if you just take and whitewash it, and that's what Eve did. And she omitted. She didn't say those words that God said, thou shalt surely die. She left that out. So the voice of the tempter comes and he begins to cast doubt on God's word, and Eve engages him and she adds a little bit to it and she takes a little away from it and she alters the rest. And God's enemies are treading the same path today, brother and sister. They are adding to the word. They are subtracting from the word. And they are omitting the word, altering the word, diluting the word. And those enemies are many, many times disguised as preachers, theologians, commentators, translators, professors, teachers, having turned their back on the light of God's word, Eve steps into the darkness of rebellion and sin. The forbidden fruit is now looked upon, desired, taken, eaten, and given to her husband. The will of God is resisted here in chapter 3. The word of God is rejected, and the way of God is deserted. The divine record of the fall of mankind is the only possible explanation that we have of the present condition of the human race. Listen, I don't know where you get your news, if you get your news. I don't know how you stay up with common or modern issues. I don't know if you know what's going on in the world. I have always, 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 my entire adult life, I have always kept track of what was going on in the world around me, always. I never ate lunch without a USA Today. And no, it wasn't the sports section I read. I read the news. One day I thought I was going to have to buy a second USA Today because remember the old paper boxes, you know? You put the money in and you pull the door on a spring down and you get your paper and you let it go and it springs back up and it sprung back up and caught my suit jacket. Thankfully, I was able to pull it out and it pulled out, but I thought, oh boy, this is great. I'm going to have to ask someone for 50 cents or whatever. I've always paid attention to the news, and I'm very much that way today, very much. And I'm telling you, we are living in a crazy, crazy, crazy place. I mean crazy. And if you don't know, you don't know. But if you know, you know. And the only possible explanation is the fall. The fall of man. The Bible record of what has happened in the garden accounts for the presence of all the evil in the world. A world that was made good and perfect by our Creator. And all of the evil comes through that fall. The Bible gives us the only adequate explanation for the universality of sin. And that is this chapter 3, the fall of mankind. Why is it that in the king's son, up in the palace, with the best of everything, and the saint's daughter in the cottage with almost nothing? Why is it that both of those, that boy raised in the king's palace and that daughter raised in a poor hut, why is it that from their earliest days, both of them manifest that propensity and that unmistakable tendency to sin and to evil? Brother and sister, it doesn't matter if that's a prince, a young prince, a 7-year-old prince with the best tutors and the best education and the best surroundings, or whether it's an 8-year-old girl in a cottage wondering where the next meal is going to come from. It doesn't matter. Her daddy's a Christian. It doesn't matter. Children, at an early age, manifest that they are sons and daughters of Adam. Hey, it's Haley Grace. Well, she's a perfect angel right now. Next 2 years, you're going to learn. Every child is that way. I mean, how do you think we got that term, the terrible twos? Because those children just show forth their Adamic nature, their fallen nature. And they can be so mean and so evil and so wicked. They can be so hateful. They can be that way. I know when they're sleeping, they look like little angels. But you've seen it, parents. You've seen it. That fallen nature. Why is it that sin is universal and that there's no empire on earth? There's no nation on the face of the earth. There's no family tree that's free from sin. If you take away the Bible and you take the Bible out of the equation, there's no answer. There's no answer. You say, yeah, yes, preacher, there is an answer. Better education. I know. Nicer homes, better environment, cleaner water and air. I know that you think those are the answers. But how do you explain the wickedness of those that have everything in their lap? You accept the Bible and you see that sin is universal because we all share a common ancestry. And through that common ancestry comes sin. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I was going to go on, but if I would continue, it would probably take me another half hour. So I'm going to go ahead and stop here. And Lord willing, we'll pick this up again in the future. But you need to understand here that God placed man in the garden and he put that tree. And I've had a lot of people. And actually, I just read it yesterday. Someone who was doing what they call, I don't know if you've heard this new term, deconversion. How many have heard the term deconversion? I know my sons have heard it, deconversion. It's people who have spent a good many years saying they were Christians and going to church and saying they were a follower of Christ and they were a convert, you know, they were converted to Christ. And now in their 30s or 40s, they are reversing that. And they are going through what is called a deconversion. And it's a very popular term now. It's a very popular term, deconversion. And I read just yesterday a woman talking about her journey of deconversion. And you know what she had an issue with? She had an issue with that tree in the midst of the garden. And she said either God is absolutely your God. Disowned God. Your God is absolutely completely cruel for putting that tree in there and knowing what man would do. Or he's fake. Brother and sister, I remind you, God put that tree in that garden so that Adam and Eve would understand that they are responsible people. And their responsibility is to obey their Creator. That tree separated them from their Creator. And I remind you again that environment, this was spoken a lot of this morning, environment is not going to help. And I understand you want to take people out of bad environments. I understand you want to put them in nicer places and better schools. I get that. I understand it. I get it. But that does not take care of the main issue. And the main issue is the evil hearts of men. They need Christ. They need Christ. Well, Lord willing, we'll pick up sometime in the future and continue this topic of the fall of man. I hope that this has been a help to you today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.